a series I've entitled Knowing God. But today, as we wrap the series up, I want to touch on not only us knowing God, but walking with God daily. Sometimes we know people, we know certain people, they're acquaintances of ours, and we're not real close to them, but we know that when we do get together, you know, we have a good time and we fellowship, we have fun, and then we don't talk again for a year or two, seems like. Well, God wants us to walk with Him daily. How can we do that? How can we know Him, but yet make Him a vital part, the most important part of our life? You've heard me say before, in our walk with the Lord, in our hobbies, in our family, anything that we do, everything that we do, God should be the center of that. And so I want to talk about that today as we continue in this and wrap up this series today. First, or 2 Peter, rather, chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever." Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that it's food for our soul. It's meat for us, Lord, to help us to grow and mature. And I pray, God, that You'll draw us closer today through Your word. Thank You, God, that You love us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Have you ever spent time with someone that that you weren't sure where you were at in their book, whether they really appreciated you or whether they tolerated you? Has anybody ever been in a company like that? I'm not sure whether they really like me or not. They act like they do. I'm sure we all have been at some time or another. And sometimes we get that feeling about God. God, do you really like me or are you just putting up with me? God really likes you. He loves you. Now, He divides our actions sometimes from who we are. He loves us, doesn't necessarily like what we do sometimes. We have to come and say, God, I'm sorry for this thing. Forgive me and help me to draw closer to You. He loves you. He loves us, and He wants us to be close to Him and walk with Him every single day. He wants us to be secure in our relationship with Him, not to be insecure. God, I don't know if You really love me or not. Have you ladies ever turned to your husband or your boyfriend and said, "Do you love me?" You are smiling. I think you have probably have. You're not saying anything. I think us guys feel that way too sometimes. Do you really love me or are you just putting up with me? We can know that God loves us. We can know that God is for us, and that even in times when we know we have failed, we're apprehensive to come back to God. God, do you really want me to be close to you? I've disappointed you. He wants us to be close to Him even in those times of failure. He loves us and He wants us to walk with Him for us to be secure and certain about our relationship with Him. We see in Isaiah, the life of Isaiah, that he came to a place of knowing God deeper. And I've given biblical examples these last couple of weeks on out of the Word of God. And today I want to do the same in the book of Isaiah and the story of Isaiah. King Uzziah was the king at the time of Isaiah. King Uzziah was real popular. He did well as long as he followed God. When he started not doing well was when he became prideful and he got away from God. But Israel did well under King Uzziah's reign. And King Uzziah, I think, he was king for like 52 years, became king when he was 16 years old. The people loved Uzziah. But there came a time where King Uzziah even disobeyed God. And in the disobedience to God, King Uzziah became prideful. He got leprosy and eventually died. And so Israel then went into a place of confusion, of mourning, of hurt. And Isaiah was there to kind of bring things back together. And we see in the Word of God, Isaiah was a man of God, but he became closer to God. And things started to really be very heavy and difficult for Israel. And when we pick up in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 3 is where we'll start. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, 'I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple.' Isaiah saw the Lord," he said. "Above it stood seraphim, which were angels. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew." Verse 3, And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah received a powerful revelation of who God is. And it came during this time of difficulty in Israel when King Uzziah had died. And in verse 4 it says, "And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke." That's the first smoke machine right there, Crawford. The house was filled with smoke. This was the undeniable presence of God. "So I said, 'Woe is me, for I'm undone.'" Isaiah was unworthy to enter the presence of God. He said, "I'm undone. I'm not worthy to be in the presence of God." He didn't deserve. He didn't think that he deserved. See, God knew how rotten Isaiah was. And God was still bringing Isaiah close to him. He wanted to draw close to Isaiah. God knows how rotten we can be sometimes. And God still wants to be close to us. He still wants us to walk with him. Not to just talk to him every once in a while, but to be in fellowship with him, to walk with him, to be daily in tune with him. And God knew the imperfections of Isaiah. He knew the imperfections of our human weaknesses. "Because I am a man of unclean lips," Isaiah, he was probably reminded of something he had said earlier that was off the wall, like sometimes we do. Isaiah said, "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I'm not perfect, and all these people around me are in the same boat," like God didn't know that. "For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Verse 6 says, "The one of the seraphim, one of the angels, flew to me, having his hand and live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar." There was an altar there, like there was in that day, where the animals were sacrificed, and it was hot coal there. And the angel took tongs, so hot, picked this coal up, and touched my mouth with it, he says in verse 7. Aren't you thankful that we don't have to do that anymore, that Jesus laid down his life so that we have an atonement for our sins, forgiveness of our sins? But the angel touched his mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." These next few moments, I want to share with you what I believe that God wants us to encourage us in walking with him daily. As we see, Isaiah was in the middle of confusion and heartache and difficulty. Isaiah had received a revelation of who God is. I believe that as we draw close to God, as we push in and press into God, we can also see a revelation of who he is, how great he is. If we really were to get a revelation of how great and big God is and how awesome he is, how unlimited he is, what could we experience in our life if we truly had a revelation of how big God is? Now, we can never see the fullness of God, but if we were to open our minds and rather than being limited on our thought about God, we're thinking, "Well, God, this situation is so big and this is so beyond me. I know there's only so much you can do with it." It's unlimitless what God can do in any situation. God can fix anything. Anything. There's nothing beyond God if we were to receive a revelation of how great God is. God wants to reveal himself to us. But many times we take situations in our own hands and trying to fix things and trying to do what we've been trained to do. Have you ever been around somebody and you've known them for years, and then all of a sudden you find out they had abilities that you didn't know they had? Oh, you crochet, you can make blankets, you can make quilts, you can do this, you can fix cars, you can... Well, there are abilities that God has that we have never seen him do, because we haven't got a revelation yet of how big and great he is. The great God that created this universe, everything in it, every living thing, below the dirt and above the dirt, everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we own, everything we touch, God creates everything. So he can cause all this to be coordinated together, and yet sometimes we see God is limited, his ability is limited to intervene in a situation in our life. God has abilities that we have not yet seen. God can do anything. Philippians 4:19 says this, My God shall supply all your needs. Say that. All your needs. Say it again. All your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if he can supply all our need according to his riches, that means that he has mountains of things that you are needing today. He already has it because he says he's going to supply your need according to his riches. Everything that you need today, God already has. But do we believe that? We read it, we hear it, but do we hear it? Do we know it? Do we know that God, there's no limit on God? His riches can supply all you need today. Healing, salvation, heartache, anything you have need of today, relationships. There's nothing beyond God. He wants to give us a revelation of who he is, how great he is. He is, and he always will be. He always was. We can't comprehend that. That is just a taste of how big and how great God is. He shall supply all your need. Now, there are two important factors that I want to point out in this point. This point being that God wants to reveal himself to us. The first one is Isaiah's relationship with God deepened after he received revelation of who God is. See, our relationship will deepen with God when we get a glimpse of how great God is. Because our trust in God, if I know that you can do something and you can do it well and you can do it beyond I dreamed, that my trust then is in you to do that thing. Our trust is in God as we see who he is and how great he is. Our relationship with him will deepen. We'll draw closer to God through receiving the revelation of who God is. How can we receive revelation of God? We must pursue him. We must read his word. We must pray. We must listen to him. You know, conversations one-sided are limited, but when we listen to what God wants to speak to us as well, many times he uses his word to speak to us. Many times he uses you to speak to me, vice versa. We listen to one another because we know that God uses each other to speak to one another and encourage one another. And so Isaiah's relationship with God deepened. And then also Isaiah's revelation of God, listen to this, it came in the midst of a traumatic situation. The revelation that Isaiah received came in the midst of a traumatic situation. We don't like to talk about that. We want to live the rest of our life without any more traumatic situations. How can we do that? Pastor Mike preached that to us. How can we live a life without any more traumatic situations? And so now I'm going to turn it over to you. You're going to tell us. We've got a life full of traumatic situations, don't we? But God speaks in those traumatic situations. And it's interesting how God can use those traumatic situations to push us closer to him. Why? Because we find out that there's some things we can't do. There's some things I can't do. There's some things you can't do. And so we're pushed closer to God. And in the middle of the most tragic, traumatic situations, God reveals himself, just like he did with Isaiah. Isn't that awesome? Because we put everything else aside. We're at ground zero. We have nothing else to turn to. Oh, and God, now what can you do? And so God revealed himself to Isaiah in a deeper way through this traumatic situation that Isaiah found himself in. If we look at it through the eyes of God, God can cause a traumatic situation to facilitate our deepened relationship with him. How can we continually walk with God? Continually, daily walk with God. Number two, allow God to create change. Allow God to create change. That's the very reason he went to the cross. So that he would create change in our life. We can't stay the same and achieve all that God's called for us to do. We can't stay the same and even be happy. We can't be fulfilled staying the same way we are. We must grow in Christ. And how can we grow in Christ? Except that we allow Him to change and to bring the change in our life. He knows that He's needed to do that. He knows that we can't do that on our own. We can't do any of this in our own strength. We've got to have the strength of God to do it. God desires to bring change. God desires to bring us, to bring our better to our best. From our current situation to our best situation. That's what God wants to do. And even if that does require traumatic experiences in our life, God will bring us through that thing to make us stronger in Him. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart. That's what God does. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God will do that. God can do that. God is not limited by any part of that. There are two important factors I want to give you on this. God often creates change on the inside of us first. We like to see the change on the outside. Can you do things a little different so I know you've really changed and then I'll believe you? No, God works on me, on the inside of me first. And then what's on the inside, then, now, granted, he does things how he wants to do. We're not going to put God in a box and I'm going to say, okay, every single time, this is the way God does it. God does whatever he wants, whenever he wants. But most of the time in me and what we see around us, God does starts on the inside first. And what's done on the inside, then it comes out. What does that mean? That there's a transformation that God brings into our life. The new heart that you're speaking of, that new heart is where? It's not on my shoulder. It's right here. It's in me. So that heart, my soul, God works on that first. And then out of that, the Bible talks about, it's out of the abundance of my heart that even my mouth speaks, right? So I need to have a heart change. I need to have a heart transplant. And so God does that. He does the work on our heart, and then it comes out. And so God will likely do a heart transformation in us first. He's a pro at working from the inside out. He's a pro. And doesn't leave an incision. Doesn't leave a mark. Then no stitches required. Amen. Praise God. And so we can't walk away from that change experience that God is doing. Many times it's so painful, seems like, that we want to walk away. Well, I've had enough. This is really painful. This transformation in me is more than what I bargained for, more than what I signed up for, so I'm going to leave. Well, many times we check out before that transformation has taken place, and the fruit comes after the transformation is completed. Or as it's being completed, we see fruit. If I were to go get an apple seed and drop it here today, and then we'll say, okay, y'all come back next Sunday, and we're going to see how many apples we have growing here. Well, see, there can't be fruit of an apple until the root is established first. Does that make sense? And so that seed has got to take root first, and then once the root is established, some sort of, it's not going to be as strong as it would be in years to come, but at least it's strong enough then to produce some fruit. And so we see the fruit come out of the established root that's there. Chris and I talk often about, matter of fact, we were talking yesterday, and Tim and Jordan had been to a conference this weekend, and they were telling us about some of the things that they were listening to, and said, Mom and Dad, it reminds us so much of y'all. I think the couple was in their 60s and they were talking about their marriage, and oftentimes Chris and I talk about this, the times that we went through the tough spots. And if you don't think you've been through tough spots living with somebody opposite of you for 36 years, then you've got another thing coming. And so you ask Crystal after church, ask her if she's ever had a hard time in 36 years. You'll skip lunch, but she'll tell you. There have been two or three times. In 36 years, okay, maybe five or six. There have been a few times over the last 36 years that had she wanted to or had I wanted to, things weren't going our way, I'm checking out, I'm leaving. But you see, the fruit of that comes by sticking it out. Amen. By saying, you know what? I'm not going anywhere. So many years ago, we threw the D word out the window. We said, okay, we're throwing that out. That doesn't mean I'm not going to kill you, but we'll throw the D out anyway. And you know I'm kidding. But the point is that in order for us to receive the fruit, there's going to have to be some pushing through in our life with God, that we push through to let him bring the fruit in our life. It's not going to happen like that. It's not going to happen without difficulty. It's not going to happen without challenges. But it's through that thing. Even a root system, that seed is going to push through some dirt. It's going to encounter some problems and sometimes have to go around another root to deepen its roots before fruit is produced. And so that's the way it is in our life. We can't walk away and check out just because things get too difficult. So our walk with God, if things aren't going our way in this traumatic experience that Isaiah faced and the traumatic experiences that maybe you're facing, maybe you're facing some tough situations today. Maybe there are some things that are beyond you. I believe from the Word of God, I can tell you to keep pressing in to God. Keep pressing in. God is doing something. And God's going to bring about some gold in you and some deepness and some even joy in you that will come on the other side of your current battle and your current situation. Any fruit always becomes evident after the roots are established. And roots can be painful. Some critical people may say, you can't be a Christian because I don't see evidence on the outside of you. Have you ever heard anybody say that? A real critical person saying, well, I don't think they're a Christian because they're not doing this or they're not doing that. Be careful. If we judge by what we see, 9 times out of 10, we are not correct. We're wrong. Because we can't judge by what God's doing on the inside of another person and to know what he's doing. See, God does some awesome things on the inside, and then that comes out. So in the church world today, many people have been hurt because there have been judgments made against them because they don't see what they're supposed to be seeing. That's called tradition. And we know how Jesus felt about tradition. He wasn't a real big fan of tradition. And he did all he could to come against that. But in today, in 2021, the church still has a little bit of tradition, and we've got to be careful how we judge things by just looking at it. We can't look at something and say, that's that and that's that. That's how we walk in faith and allow God to be God in situations. We can't say, well, that situation is hopeless. There's no way that that's going to turn out good. Yes, there is a way. Because if God is in it, God can also work through it. And so sometimes we limit God by going ahead and calling it for what we think that it is. See, if we're going by sight, what we see, we're limiting God right there. Because God works beyond what we can see. He works beyond what we feel. You wake up tomorrow morning. Have you ever noticed sometimes you love people and sometimes you don't? Emotions and feelings are fickle. You know, I loved you yesterday, but I don't really love you today. And so we base our life on those feelings, and it'll get us in trouble. We've got to make sure that we stay in tune with God. The Bible talks about man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. In 1 Samuel 16:7, that's exactly what he says. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see a man, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord, where does he look? At the heart. He looks on the inside. We can't always trust what we see. Well, I saw it. Well, I wouldn't bank on it. 1 John 1:7 says this, If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, God does a work on the inside. God is more concerned about what's in me than out of me. Now, I agree, there will be a transformation. You know, the butterfly comes out of the cocoon. So there's a transformation there. There's a change. And there will be. But we've got to trust God in that change to bring it about and not get hung up on the things that we see. We've got to continue walking with God and daily walking with God, not base our faith on what we see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, not the evidence, and the evidence of things not seen. Come on, y'all. Correct me. Read your Bible. We must allow God to change us. See, even Isaiah wasn't prepared. His relationship with God wasn't prepared for what he saw in Israel. So Isaiah had some improvement to make with his relationship with God too. So no matter how big we get, no matter how high we get, no matter how close to God we can get a little closer. I like what I read yesterday. A very, very popular author wrote, he said, if you've achieved your goals, make some bigger ones. You don't achieve your goals and say, I've arrived. Man, I've done it. Celebrate your achievements. Celebrate your goals in life. Y'all have done some great things. Education, jobs, you've done great things. Celebrate that, but don't let that be your stopping point. Sad situations all around us is that people achieve one thing and now what do? They're lost but see, if we allow God to work in and through us, He's bringing us from glory to glory, from this place on forward. God is always maturing us. He's always growing us. And we need to allow God to continue to do that. Not to say that I've reached this point in my life and now this is all there is. I've arrived and there's nothing else to life. No, there's a lot more to life. If you're breathing, there's more that God wants to use you to do. And so Isaiah had, in his state in life and as his closest to God, there was still something more that God wanted to do in his life. And then finally, if we look at the transformation in Isaiah said this in chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? See, Isaiah, just earlier he said, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. But God made a change in Isaiah's life and in his heart. And Isaiah allowed that to happen. We've got to allow that change to happen. And then God said to Isaiah, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? God always has an assignment for you. He always has an assignment for you. There's not any two people that will have the same assignment. It's like our fingerprints. Out of all the millions of people, no one has a fingerprint like you. No one can be you. You can only be you, and you can only fulfill the calling that God has on your life. And then Isaiah replied. He said, here I am. Send me. Isaiah received, it started with a revelation of God. And so now it's coming from a revelation of God to a change in his heart to now God is saying, who shall I send? And Isaiah knew in his heart, there's something I've got to do for God. And God said in verse 9, go and tell this people. Isaiah realized that God wanted to do more in him. Even with the imperfections in his life? Yes. Even with the imperfections. Where you are today, God still wants to use you. Don't think that you've got to qualify for God to use you or to speak into your life. We all qualify because we're breathing. That's the main qualification. So number 3, allow God to use you. Allow God to use you right where you are. There's an important injection into this society that's lacking when you're silent. There's a vital part that's needed in today's world, in 2021, right here on St. Simon's, that only you, that God wants to use you to put into. And I know when I was growing up in my early 20s, I said, God, I know I've got to do something for you. And so obviously it's going to be somewhere else. It can't be here. Where are you going to send me to? And so Chris and I, early married, you know, we were both raised up the same way. We had a heart for God and we were involved in the church and raising a family. But there was something more for us to do. And surely it had to be in some foreign country. It had to be somewhere. And over the years, God spoke to us and he said, Mike, flourish where you're planted. Do what I've called you to do right where you are. And so many times we get so anxious about, well, it's got to be this or it's got to be that. We've got this to do and that to do. And we hold up God's progress in our life because we think that it's got to fit in our mold. And all we've got to do is start doing what God has put on our heart to do right where we are planted. And in doing that, then God blossoms out of that. Crystal and I both were born and raised right here in this town. We were born right here in this hospital. The room doesn't look the same, I'm sure. But we were born right here in this hospital, right here on Parkwood Drive. And so what we thought was going to be, surely there'll be somewhere else for us to go. And so we're still right here after all these years. And we're thankful. We look back now and say, thank you, God, that you did this, that we can stay right here at home. And now, we would have gone anywhere. We were right ready to. And so what I want to tell you today is that we draw close to God. We get a revelation of how big he is, knowing that there's nothing in your life that is bigger than what you're facing today. And some of you are facing some tough situations. Some of you are watching right now and facing situations that are, you don't know what's going to happen. I know of some. But we've got to allow God to bring some change in our life, to allow that tough situation to be turned around. The Bible says, Romans 8:28, that he'll cause all these things to work together for good to those who are called and love God. And so we've got to allow God to bring whatever change, not fight against God's change, but allow God to bring the change and trust him that since he is so unlimited and so powerful and so awesome, that he's going to cause this thing to come together for good. And so we don't shun that. We allow God to do it. We've got to allow God to do it. He's not going to go against my will to change my heart. Now, he can. He could throw me on the hospital and have me within half a second of losing my life. He can. That's not what he wants to do. He wants to get my attention on this side of eternity. And so if I'm willing to allow him to do that, and to hear his voice and say, God, create that change in my life. Create that change that you came to do, that you want to do in my life. Here I am. And then once we get to that point, then God says, okay, who am I going to send to represent me? Who am I going to speak through? And so at that point, we say, God, here I am. And that doesn't have to take 30 years. That can take 30 minutes for all that to transpire. See, God is not limited by our time frame. He's not limited by our alarm clock. He's not limited by a 4-year or 6-year program. We don't have to be in school so many years to qualify and to get an education on how God thinks. We've got to simply, just as Isaiah did, simply walk with God. And then the fruit will come after our obedience and saying, God, here I am, use me. That's where the fruit starts to flourish. See, the root is there. He's doing his work. He's creating the change. He's causing the root system to go. And then he knows when our faith is in him, when we say, God, use me, here I am. He knows at that point that we have relinquished our thoughts of what we want to do and how we want to do it, and that we're ready to do things the way that he wants them done. And so there are people in your life right now that need this instruction from the Bible in order to grow and to flourish. And you can be the very example that they're looking to create that encouragement in their life. But we've all got to do this. It's for you. It's for me. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. This is the decision that we've all got to do individually. And then as we're doing this individually, God is going to cause us corporately then to grow together and to do things that has never been done before. Jesus said that greater things we will do than he did when he was on earth. Well, he did some pretty great things. But what he wants to do is cause us to do even greater things. To cause us to build relationships with people. We met this past Tuesday morning here and had about 24 of us that met. And we're talking about how God wants to use us. And one pastor said, he said, what can we do to facilitate men and women in the church and to bring people closer to God? And I said, well, what I believe that God is calling us to do is to go beyond these four walls and to have relationships with people outside of the four walls to encourage and love them. See, we could sit here for weeks, for days and weeks, and wait for people to come in here for us to love on, or God can work through you and we can go wherever we go. Winn-Dixie, Harris Teeter, Belk. Yeah, Belk's still open, isn't it? Belk, a mall. We can go anywhere and allow God then to pour through us to where we build relationships. It's really like Jesus did. Jesus taught in the synagogue, but yet when he was out in the street, he struck up conversations with people that didn't think that they qualified for conversation because they didn't know him. They were needing water, and Jesus said, listen, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. To be there for people that really don't feel they've got a place in church for whatever reason. Either they've been hurt, they've been judged, they don't feel they're good enough, they're not measuring up to certain standards to go to church, whatever that is. But you know what? God can use us to send us into the community. When he says, who can I send? We can say, yes, you can send me. So that we can be Jesus in all those other places. And so as we were talking, I said, I believe that the Lord has called us not to pull people from other churches. If people are in other churches, praise God. There are other churches preaching the gospel in Glenn County, surrounding counties. That's wonderful. Our purpose is not to pluck people from other churches. That's fine if they want to come. What our purpose, where I believe that the Lord has brought us to today, is that we need to be Jesus in the streets and show the love of Jesus Christ to those who aren't even able to come to us. If we can do that, if we can, and we've already begun that, if we can do that and let people know that Jesus loves them right where they are, Jesus already knows the backstory, and he still loves them. We don't have to judge people. My goodness, that's the last thing we want to do. It's not my place to judge somebody. It is my place to love somebody. And so when Isaiah said, God, send me for that purpose that you want me to do. See, God is not blessing us. God is not speaking to us. God is not drawing us close to him just so we can feel all warm and cozy and sleep good at night and say, oh, I feel good. That's good, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's something beyond that. There's something that God wants to do in and through you to touch somebody else. And so Jesus, when he walked the earth, he spent all his time doing just that. And when he left it in our hands to do the very same thing that he did, to love people and to be an example to people, not to judge. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't speak truth. That means we speak truth, but we speak truth in love. Everything that we do has to be like Jesus, and that is wrapped top, bottom, side to side, wrapped in love, to know that that we love them just as Christ loved us. The Bible says that we were all once sinners, and that when we come to him, we are saved by grace. There's a changing, there's a heart transformation that Jesus brings us through. And when we come to him, he no longer sees you as a sinner. He no longer sees me as a sinner. He sees us as innocent. That's awesome. And what does that cause me to do? God, you really do love me. I want to draw closer to you, and I want to tell as many people about you as I possibly can. I want to live the same life that you've given me. I want to live that before others and love others. Don't restrict God's hand in your life. We're at a place in 2021, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 12 months, 24 months, 36 months. And we see and hear different words and different things coming up, but really what it comes right down to, what the very nitty-gritty of the whole thing is, that we've got to be rooted in Jesus Christ. If we're rooted in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if this whole world blows over the side of the mountain. If it does, God's got us, and we're with Him. I'm not going to lay awake at night worrying about what could happen, what may happen, because He said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So that tells me that we can have peace in the middle of tribulation. Now, that isn't possible for us individually. That isn't possible within me to do that, but it is possible if I truly get a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. My faith is in Jesus Christ. My faith is in Him. He's a solid rock. He's brought us from the miry clay to a solid foundation. He's the rock of our life. Why do we need to worry and fret? Why do we need to be anxious? The Bible says be anxious for nothing. Why do we need to be anxious? Why do we need to worry and try to do things in our own strength when we know that He's come to do His work in our life? So your unique gift God wants to use. God wants to use you to carry Him to the lost. Maybe there's some today, maybe you're here today. Maybe there's some on the other side of this wall that really want a relationship with Jesus Christ, but they haven't ran into anybody that really wants to share the love of Christ in their life. Maybe you're the one to do that. Maybe you're the one that can just be love to them. It doesn't require a microphone on the street corner preaching hellfire and brimstone. There's nothing wrong with that. My point is, we're just to take forth the love of Jesus Christ. That's what we're to give. Just as He has done to us, we need to take and do unto others. Moses brought the people out of Egypt. Paul took the gospel to the non-Jews. Noah built an ark to save people and animals. There is something that God has for you to do. And you can limit what God's hand will do, and I can limit what God's hand will do, but God is not limited. I want to encourage you today. God is still working. He's still moving. He's still doing some things. And He's not finished. We see the enemy is going to fire it up, and he's going to cause the heat to be even stronger. But you know what? Don't worry. Be at peace. Because God will prevail. And He's calling you to do the same thing, to have the same faith that I'm speaking of today. And out of that, there are blessings that will flow out of what I've just told you. Out of all that I just said, these are the three blessings. Just jot them down. God's word will take precedence over your worries. As we walk with God daily, God's word, His truth, His promise, God's word will take precedence over your worries. So when you get up tomorrow morning and your first instinct is to worry about something, you have that knot in your stomach and you're worried about something because it's a habit to worry. Maybe you were raised in a worrying home, your mama worried, your daddy worried. I understand that. I had ulcers when I was 8 years old and in the hospital. I was worried at a young age. So I understand. But when we draw close to God, God's word will take precedence over those worries. The second thing will happen, the interruptions that we're experiencing, interruptions along the way, interruptions that Isaiah experienced, interruptions will be stepping stones rather than distractions. Your interruptions will be stepping stones rather than distractions. And then thirdly, God's peace will be more obvious. God's peace is already among you. God's peace is already on you. God's peace is already around us. But as we draw closer to God and we walk with Him every day, His peace will be more obvious. We'll be able to sense it. We'll be able to feel it. We'll be able to live in it. Well, how are you not worried about that? Why aren't you worried about that? Why aren't you worried about it? Because I've got God's peace. It's not that you don't care. You care. But we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we have peace in God's ability to move in the situation. Whether it's in 30 minutes from now or whether it's 30 years from now, we have peace. God's peace will be more obvious in our life. How? Galatians 2:20 says this. As we walk with God, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Oh boy. I live by faith. Say it again. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the transformation. That's where we're headed, is that. That's where we're headed. Does that help give you a vision? That helps give you a visual of where you're headed today. No matter where you are, that's where we're headed. Some may be farther along. Some may be just starting out. It doesn't matter. That's where we're headed. I want to encourage you today. You are important to the kingdom of God. You are important to the kingdom of God. I thank God for you. It's not done. The latter days will be greater than the former. Don't get stuck back then. Don't get stuck. Oh, those are the good old days. The good old days are coming. Good new days are coming. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. My prayer for you is just what I've said, that you'll receive revelation of who God is, that you'll allow God to create change. Now, don't think change is one time. Change is progressive. See, I'll change tomorrow, and I'll change next year, and 2 years I'll change, and 3 years I'll change. So change is progressive. It's God wanting to cause us to change from glory to glory, to continually change closer to Him. And then that we'll allow God to use us right where you are. Allow God to use you, to speak through you, to love God, to show God that you're there for Him. And if you're saying that today, if you're saying, you know what, I believe it, I agree with it, God send me, if that's you, stand with me today. If you're saying, God send me, stand with me today. Y'all scared me for a second there. So, God, I guess I'm the only one. I got some help behind me here. God send me. Is that you? God, send me. Send me, Lord, to represent your goodness. God is great. God is faithful. And He is right where you are today. He's not way ahead of you saying, come on up here. He's right with you. He's saying, come on, let's walk this together. Get up. Let's go. There's more to do. Don't allow your dilemma today to distract you from God's future. Don't allow your current situation to hinder you from seeing how big God is. Don't allow that situation that you're facing, that maybe you're in the middle of, don't allow that thing to discourage you from God's goodness. God loves you. He is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? God's going to cause you to be successful in everything you put your hands to. That's not me talking. That's the Word of God. that we'll be blessed in whatever we put and set our hands to. And what governs and what the meaning of success, the definition of success, is that God blesses it and He causes it to prosper. As Elder Denny said earlier, it may not be that you're going to be on a golden palace on the hill of Pigeon Forge. It might be that God's going to cause you to be successful in touching lives that nobody else could touch. God will determine that success. God will determine what it looks like. But know this, that you will be successful in all that you put your hands to. What God has called you to, He will cause it to prosper. Do you believe that today? God is good. God is awesome. Are you feeling disconnected from God today? God has not left you. We just got to come alongside God. Say, God, reveal yourself to me, change my heart, and here I am, let's go. If you're feeling disconnected, it's not because God's not with you. He said He is with you today. Let me remind you, God is with you. He's not left you. He's not forsook you today. God is close to you. And He wants to invite you to walk with Him each and every day. Crawford, I'm going to ask you to lead us for these next few moments. We'll come back and pray. But I feel an encouragement in hearts today. Don't leave this place until you let God ask you that question, who will go? And then you answer, it's me. It's me. Lead us.